Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle. Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps. I am excited today because you're going to have your mind blown. Yes, you are. I guarantee it. Well, yeah, maybe not blown, but definitely looked at. I'm talking today with Ridgely Goldsboro, and he is from Mind Types, and he's got a unique way of looking at your personality to help you figure out how to better create great relationships. So, Ridgely, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Brian. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm excited.
It's my pleasure. So, I like my audience to get to know you, and you know, obviously, you didn't start out doing mind typing and all that kind of fun stuff. So, how did you go from being a male dancer to dancing around people's minds?
That's a loaded question, man. I have to tell you, my male dancing career was very, very short. I saw an ad when I was at school at the university that said you could make a bunch of money really fast. I auditioned. I got accepted. I danced three times, made like $100 a minute or something. I thought it was the most awesome thing ever. Told my dad about it, and he promptly said, unless you stop doing that immediately, I'm not paying your tuition anymore. And that was the end of my male dancing career, short-lived as it was, kind of fun, but pretty useless.
Wow. So how did that lead into you doing what you're doing now?
Well, you know what? I've always been a seeker, Brian. And so I got turned on to personal development, personal growth, reading Jim Rohn and Wayne Dyer and Brian Tracy and Zig Ziglar, all those old guys that then turned into Tony Robbins and the more modern guys way back when. Fascinated by the human condition, started writing, written 17 books now, five of them on emotional intelligence, and I'm clearly fascinated by the human mind. What's going on in the mind? What does it look like? And how can we make that accessible to the common person, everybody, so that we can lead better lives, connect better? I think there's way too much disconnect in this world today, and we'd have a much better planet if we could all respect each other, understand each other, and come together in that way. So it's been an ongoing quest.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There you go. So let's get into what Mind Types is, because if anybody's ever been in corporate, you know, you've had a DISC system or Myers-Briggs or one of those kind of personality tests. And, you know, we all know those. Hopefully you've done it. If you haven't, check out crystal.com or actually go to brianloves.info/crystal. You can take your own test right there and see it. But this one is different. And I took it and it was spot on. So explain to me, what is Mind Types?
So first of all, shout out to all of those other systems, Predictive Index, DISC, StrengthFinders, Myers-Briggs, whatever. They're all great. What I did to be different was I offered myself the following challenge. I said, look, if what you do requires an interpreter or a coach to explain it, it's not simple enough and accessible enough to help as many people as you want to help. So your challenge, Ridgely, is to come up with a system that is so clean and simple that people get it, they can intuitively feel it, and then use it to better their lives and the lives of those around them, including their families, their colleagues, their coworkers, whatever that may be. So your mind type is like the lens through which you see the world. It's what makes you unique and different. It's the chip that's running your brain. It literally 24/7, 365, completely influences the way you think, the way you speak, and why you do everything that you do. It's the essence of who you are, and there is a superpower that goes along with that, and a conversely, a kryptonite that can take you down unless you know what it is. So getting to know your mind type is pretty critical in order to really flourish in this crazy, mixed up, media-infested world that we live in.
Yeah, there's a term that one of my guests used. He called it infobesity. And there's so much information out there, free stuff that you can use, and all this different stuff coming at you. Do this, don't do that. You know, it's just easy to get overwhelmed. So, and your system is pretty straightforward and simple. So let me ask you just quick, give a quick overview. First and foremost, how many mind types are there and what are the core mind types?
So let me walk through that real quick. Thank you so much for asking. There are 7 different mind types, and all of us have a primary mind type and a secondary. I would invite everyone listening that as I'm going through these, trust your intuition and ask yourself, which one feels like me? Which one do I resonate with the most? And don't worry, I will make sure with Brian's blessing that we have a way that you can verify this. So even if it's not super clear right now, at least you'll get a taste of it. And again, trust your intuition. Number one, mind type number one, the giver. The person who loves to contribute to others, to make a difference, to add value, to have an impact. They're the people who would do something like bring coffee to the team or look to influence the destiny of a nation, like a Nelson Mandela, or touch so many people like a Mother Teresa. So that's the giver, number one. Number two, the connector, the person for whom bonds and relationships are everything. Trust is at the top of their list. They'll do whatever they can to build trust and to be trusted. So that's number two, the connector. Number three, the problem solver. The problem solver is the person who takes in lots and lots of data and at warp speed spits out options, possibilities, solutions. They make sense out of things. They clarify, they simplify, and they couldn't turn off their processing brain even if they wanted to. That's number three, the problem solver. Number four, the innovator. The innovator is the person who's constantly tweaking everything, always looking for a better way to do things, continuously asking the question, well, what about this? How about this? How about this other thing? What about that over there? Looking to make things better. Doesn't matter whether that's organizing the garage or a manufacturing plant. That's number four, the innovator. Number five, the perfectionist. The perfectionist is the person who understands that if you do A, then B, then C, then D, E is predictable. They create order. They eliminate chaos. They do things the right way. They want things to be done properly because when things are done right, you can look into the future and predict that. So that's number five, the perfectionist. Number six, the rebel. The rebel is the person who thinks differently than everybody else, lives outside the box, constantly challenges the status quo, the norm, the convention. You say why, they say why not. That's number six, the rebel. And number seven, the master, the person who's looking to take things to another level, loves to absorb data and information, just soak it all in for the sheer joy of learning. They're the kind of people that would buy an ant farm just to look at the ants to see how they can possibly be so productive. That's number seven, the master. Let me quickly run through them one more time. The giver, the person who contributes, makes a difference, adds value to others. The connector, the person who loves bonds and relationships, trust is their paramount core value. The problem solver, the person who makes sense out of things, simplifies and clarifies things for others. Number four, the innovator that's always looking for a better way, constantly tweaking things and making them better. Number five, the perfectionist, the person that loves systems and does things in an organized, formulaic way. They do things the right way. Number six, the rebel, the person who challenges the status quo, lives outside the box and is always challenging convention or the norm. And number seven, the master, the person who always takes things to another level and goes deeper. So there you have it. Giver, connector, problem solver, innovator, perfectionist, rebel, and master.
Awesome. So let me ask you a couple of quick questions on this. Number one, do people evolve? I mean, are you born a connector or a rebel, or is it something that as you learn and grow throughout life, you tend to take on a little bit more of a characteristic of one of the other?
That's an absolutely great question. And the answer is neither.
Oh,
so the way this works is as follows. You're not born with anything, but you have to learn how to survive. You know, when you were an infant and you wanted milk, what did you do?
Wee.
Right. And then suddenly mom brings you milk and there's an association that forms that says crying equals success. You wake up in the middle of the night, you're in your crib, scared, lonely. What do?
Wee.
Right. And then mom shows up again, comforts you, and the association gets stronger. Crying equals success. And from that moment forward, every single time you needed or wanted anything, what'd you do?
Wee.
Right. Until one day mom says, sorry, Brian, that doesn't work anymore. You're not going to cry your way into whatever you want. And at that point, you had to figure out some other action, some other behavior to get you what you needed, that survival. It was so primitive to the infant, Getting milk or not is life or death. Getting comforted or not is life or death. So when you're figuring out what that thing is and you suddenly take an action and it works and you get what you need, a tiny filament of belief is formed in that moment. You're like, wow, okay. Then you have another need. You try something else. It doesn't work. You throw it away. You try something else. No, doesn't work. Throw it away. You have another need. Try something else. Doesn't work. Throw it away. Go back to that first one. It works again. Ooh, another tiny filament of belief is formed. And one filament of belief doesn't hold up a whole lot, but imagine now hundreds and hundreds of filaments wrapped around each other. Each tiny filament of belief, what does that create? It creates why you do everything that you do. It builds your belief system, and nobody does anything without a belief. And in that repeated behavior, we can determine your mind type. In other words, your mind type came from how you learned to survive in this world at a very primitive reptilian level as you were forming. So it didn't happen at birth, and it didn't happen through evolution. It happened through survival in your early years, which is why your mind type will not change in this incarnation, and it is so powerful to find out what that is.
So it is something that you evolve into and stay with. It's not something that's going to change, you know, say in your 20s or 40s or 60s.
No, it will not change at all. The way it shows up for you may change, but what you do will not change. So for example, my primary mind type is the problem solver. I love to make sense out of things. That's why I've written all these books. That's why I speak. And my secondary is the giver. I really do care about the world. I want to make a difference. I want to have an influence with my life. However, I don't give unless it makes sense. In other words, it runs through the problem solver mind. If that makes, in other words, I'm not the altruistic guy kind of person. That would be a pure giver. They would have a primary mind type of a giver. Me being a problem solver, happy to give, delighted to give, and I give a lot as long as it makes sense to me. In other words, it always goes through my primary mind type of being the problem solver.
So is there something that we can do in this podcast that kind of gives people an example of how they figure it out? I know they can do an online assessment, but is there anything we can do to kind of give an example of it?
First of all, in going through the process of listening to what I shared with everybody, definitely my recommendation is trust your intuition. Second thing is go to mindtypes.com and go through the quiz. It'll take you just a few minutes, and that will determine your mind type, and that's going to be far more accurate. You'll be able to trust your intuition as I explain not only the mind types, but also the superpowers and the kryptonites. And often it's the kryptonite that helps people really recognize who they are. And I'll bet you just about everybody on this podcast wants to know their own kryptonite. But more than that, they want to know the kryptonite of their spouse or their partner.
Right. Yeah, it's always nice to kind of look at that. So I came out as a connector. And so, you know, explain what a connector is. You've done that already, but what's the kryptonite with the connector? What's my, you know, what's my upside? What's my thing that's going to take me down?
So the superpower of the connector is trust. It is so important for you to build trust, to be trusted by others, to show others that you are trustworthy. And that's amazing because you create tremendous bonds and relationships with people. Brian, I mean, think about it. You've got this podcast, Bacon Podcast, going out connecting with thousands and thousands of people. You've been doing it for a really long time because that is so important to you. It's so important, in fact, that it also influences your kryptonite, which is waste. It is so paramount for you to demonstrate that you can be trusted that you'll do the extra and then the extra and then the extra and then a little bit more for others to show them that you're trustworthy. And the problem is it doesn't work. The first extra takes you from being ordinary to extraordinary, and that's amazing. I think all of us can aspire to being extraordinary human beings. All the other extras just make you nice. Oh, Brian's so nice. He's always doing the extra, and it doesn't serve you to prove trustworthiness, which means that you are wasting, waste is the kryptonite, a lot of energy that could be going to your projects, your dreams, your family, your loved ones, whatever that may be. And so hopefully with the raising of awareness of that, as you go through your day and you start doing that extra, 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 you can say to yourself, Brian, you're doing that extra, extra thing. Remember what Ridley said, you are a trustworthy person. You can be trusted. There's no need for you to do all of that and take some of your life back for the rest of this incarnation.
So the 1X is okay, but the 3X, not so much, right? <What you're saying. laughs> Don't be a 3X.
Well, that's exactly right. And by the way, the other thing you want to do as a connector, and this is really important, is I know, for example, that, you know, you asked me for my physical address and I asked you for yours because I want to send you a book. I know that because you are a connector, if I don't do what I say I'm going to do with you, it's personal. Mm-hmm. Connectors, trust is everything. Somebody doesn't do what they say they're going to do to me as a problem solver, I'm like, yeah, whatever, that was lame, what a bonehead. That's it, over. So very important for the connector to communicate to those that care, that you care about most. Hey, trust is really important to me. It's the essence of who I am. If you say you're going to do something, I'd really appreciate it if you did that. Otherwise, it's personal. And you let people know, and those that really do care and love you can be like, you know what? I committed this to Brian. I need to do this because otherwise he's going to be hurt by this. Wow. I just escalated my level of responsibility to all of those people who are connectors because that's what's most important to them. And I care enough about them to want to do what I say I'm going to do.
And I could say you're spot on because one of the things that's uber important to me is people, you know, when I tell them this is what I expect, this is when I expect it, and this is how it should be done, I ask them to do it. And I go back a second time and I'll go back a third time. That's the nice side, you know, the extra, extra. But then it gets to a point where I got to turn around and say, hey, this isn't working anymore and move on. But it's hard for me to move on. You know, that's one of the things about it. And then the other side of being the connector is integrity is like so important to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's somebody else's word, their integrity, that they say what they're going to say and do what they're going to do. When somebody speaks out of the side of their mouth and says, hey, you know, I'm doing this and I'm going to do it this way, but they're really plotting something different and they do that other thing. It's, oh, no, I was intending to do that. That just drives me insane.
Right. And because you're a connector, you have a radar about that, Brian. You can mm-hmm. take a spidey sense. Only connectors have it. If my wife, who's also a connector like you, says to me, we're at a networking event and she says, hey, I had a funny feeling about so-and-so. That's all I need to hear. That person is immediately off my list. Mm-hmm. You, as a connector, just like my wife, have a spidey sense about people. You can tell whether they can be trusted or not. And the more you develop that with your intuition, the better off you'll be, because I already know, because you're a connector, you absolutely don't want to be around people who can't be trusted. Am I right?
Oh, you are 100% right on every level, because I do have that spidey sense. And I've actually had conversations with somebody else who I don't know if they're a connector or not, but I said, this person kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies. She goes, oh my God, I have the same feeling. You know, it's like, so, you know, other people can see it too. They haven't done anything, but you can just get a sense that something's funky. So obviously there's some, you know, some benefits of learning what it is and how to work through this stuff, because I mean, it's not inherent and it's not, you know, organic. It's something that you actually have to work on, I think.
Well, for sure. And here's the thing. Success in life comes from maximizing your superpower and minimizing your kryptonite. It is so critical for all of us to know what we don't do very well, so that we can spend more time doing that which we do very well. All of us want to play to our strengths. Nobody likes to play to their weaknesses. And if you don't know what those are, how can you do that? That's why I encourage everybody to go to mindtypes.com and figure out your mind type, because it's really going to help you go, wow, now I know so much more about me. I'm going to play to my strengths and I'm going to enjoy those strengths. And I'm definitely going to have a better chance of minimizing my kryptonite.
Okay, so let me ask you a side question. One of the things, I mentioned crystal before. Yep. Crystal is cool to me because I can go in, like I've got meetings today. And I've actually shown this to the client that I'm meeting with. It's like, hey, I can take a disc profile of you and I put it in front of the client. She goes, oh my God, that is spot on. That is so cool. Oh, wow, did it peg me? And so I use that a lot to kind of understand the personalities of not only people, you know, to be honest with you, I did one with you. You know, it's just to kind of get a sense of who you are and what you do. And, you know, it's not 100% accurate, but it's about 80% accurate. So I can use that as a tool to help me in my business understand how to communicate better with other people. Is there a way to use mind types similar to that?
Oh my gosh, that's just such a great question. It is ridiculous. So unfortunately, influence and manipulation are very close to each other, right? Mm-hmm. However, I'm going to share with you that if you're coming from the right place, the tool that I'm going to suggest right now is a ninja influence power mechanism.
Yeah, and let me jump in just real quick on that one point, because I've heard this many times when I show people Crystal, they go, because Crystal works directly inside LinkedIn. You don't even have to be connected with somebody. It goes in and uses AI. And people look at me and they go, oh, dude, that's creepy. And I said, well, you know, it's creepy or cool depending on which side of the telescope you're looking at.
Exactly.
Right?
That's exactly right. And I feel exactly the same way. So I say to people, I would like to empower you. Please use this power wisely.
Yes.
Because there are communication keywords that you will respond to as well as if I say Brian, which is mm-hmm. your name.
Right.
So, for example, I want you to notice and share with the people listening how this feels. I'm going to make a request of you. I'm going to tell you upfront what I'm doing. I am transparently making a request mm-hmm. using communication keywords. Tell me how this feels for you. Brian, I'm working on an issue here, and you are just so dependable and reliable. I know I can always count on you and trust what you have to say. Could you take a look at it for me?
Oh, hell yeah.
Right? Because I hit you where you live four or five times. And if you know the mind types and you know the communication keywords of each of them, you have ninja power of influence over others.
Right.
And the ability to connect, by the way. So it's not just about influence. It's about how can I establish a connection so that we can really take it, whatever we're doing, to a deeper level.
So how do you figure out what kind of mind type somebody else is?
So again, there's a process. And basically what you're going to want to do is peel back the layers of the onion. And of course, this takes a little bit of practice. What I do is I ask people the following question. Tell me about something that happened to you with another person, a specific interaction that you had that made you feel successful or great. Remember back to success, the bottle for the infinite success being comfort for the infinite success. Success is a feeling. In other words, I'm speaking to the limbic or feeling brain, not the neocortex or thinking brain. And when somebody replays that interaction that they had, it's like a little video in their mind. It reproduces the emotional state on a much lesser level, obviously. And by listening to that emotional state, I then peel back the onion by saying the following: what about that made you feel successful? And then finally, I'll peel back the onion one more time and say, why is that important to you? And that way I can hear and feel the emotion that went behind it. And the emotion is why they did what they did, which is what reveals their mind type.
Okay, so it takes a little bit of analysis. It isn't like a tool that it's something that you have to learn. So it's a learned process. I'm assuming this is in your book and in some of the videos and things that you have as well, right? On how to read that.
Of course, I will say to people, you can go through that process, or you can just go to mindtypes.com and take the quiz.
Right,
make your life a lot easier.
Yeah, well, taking the quiz on yourself is helpful, but you know, using it as a tool with other people, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. Like I said, there's, you know, DISC, Myers-Briggs, there's people out there using NLP. I mean, you know, there's all different kinds of tools, but you know, no one tool is perfect all the time. And you may find something that you like better, and this could be one of them. So is there anything else that we missed that you'd like to share with the audience, or something that we didn't talk about?
Well, just for all the people, again, the powers of influence, one of the greatest things that works with mind types, if you're in business and you do any kind of sales, can you imagine if you knew the mind type of the person you're speaking to and could then use communication keywords with that person? You would connect with them immediately, establish a different level of trust completely, and be able to have a better conversation. And by the way, it's the same process we just talked about, Brian, just slightly altered. Instead of saying, tell me about something that made you feel successful, you'd say to that person, hey, we're looking at doing some business together. Tell me what would be a complete home run for you. First question. What about that would be a home run? Second question. Why is that important to you? Third question. And by asking those three questions with a little bit of training, you can know someone's mind type. And then you can use communication keywords to connect with them on a much deeper level.
So there is a system that you can learn to use and you know, do on the fly. So that's pretty cool. So if people wanted to dig a little deeper in this, what's the best way for them to do that?
For sure, the best way is to first go figure out your mind type. And the way you're going to do that is to go to mind, mindtypes.com, just like it sounds, mindtypes.com, and take the quiz. It's free. It's super fun. It's cool. And I invite you not only to take it yourself, get your family to take it with you or your coworkers so you can figure each other out and have a fantastic, super fun conversation about it.
Yeah, that would be fun. I'm not sure I'd want my wife to know mine, but that's okay. So if people want to connect with you or follow you, what's the best way to do that? Email, social, what?
Yeah, LinkedIn, Facebook, both of those work. You know, hit Ridgely Goldsboro, hit me up, and or go to MindTypes. And I'd be absolutely delighted to connect with anybody. That'd be great.
So Ridgely, this was cool, man. I learned a lot. I mean, I went through the process. It was easy. It was fast. And, you know, it was enlightening. That's all I'm going to say. So, and thanks, man, for coming and explaining it. You dropped some sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps. I appreciate you, your time and your insights. And peeps, go check it out. Thanks again, Ridgely.
Thank you very much, Brian, for having me. Look forward to doing it again sometime.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.